Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now. That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Again.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again. Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Sunday, May the 28th, I think. Yeah, Sunday, May the 28th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as always, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we've got a very powerful show scheduled for you today. Today, we want to talk about whether you are a dream weaver or a dream stealer. We want to talk about how to actually live this thing called a dream. It's very interesting to me because when I was a child growing up, I wasn't allowed to dream. So to just do this show today is mind-blowing to me because thinking about how I've gotten to this place. And when I say this place, I mean a place where living a dream is even an option. Because when you come from where or you come from the place that I've came from, you're not even allowed to live a dream or to plan or to ponder your dream. What's interesting today, my brothers and sisters, is the fact that living your dream is very, very, very important, because that is the only way to optimize your life. But all my life, once I started to dream about the possibilities of what do I want out of life, what do I want to be, where do I want to go, who do I want to spend my life with, once I started to think about the possibilities of dreaming, then I only thought about the dream, and the dream was always out there. The dream was never something that was going to be right here. And so we spend all of our life planning for our dream, but we never really sit down and actually think about what do we do when we get our dream. And what's interesting to me is how we live our lives always pursuing our dreams and never really catching them. And so today we want to talk about what do you do when you catch your dream? Because, see, most of us have never been prepared. I never thought that the day would come up where I would actually live my dream. Now, most people will do exactly what I've done, what I did, and I've shared, and it's not a knock on anybody. It's the fact that we have planned poorly when it comes to living our dream. I know I did. I can't speak for anybody else. I can only speak for myself. And what I did was I did not plan for my dream, because I never thought that I didn't have an example. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anybody in my life. Again, not that that is an excuse. That's just the reality of coming from the place where I came from. And so once you understand that, now you don't have to make the same mistake that I've made. You can actually learn from my mistakes. And you don't have to actually repeat the mistakes that I made, which is not only do you want to plan for your dream, but to get it, you also need to plan how the hell you're going to keep it. See, most of us, my brothers and my sisters, there's a song back in I guess it was the 70s or 80s. I remember it's an old song. I know you young whippersnappers have never heard of this song called Dream Weaver. Man, you guys got to listen to that song, and you got to listen to the lyrics of that song, because the lyrics of that song and that song, that it's a powerful song. Because it shares with you the depths of what I'm expressing, exposing, expanding to you today. And I want to go through what I've learned and what I kind of have stumbled upon to assist you. You know, I like bullet points and acronyms, so I want to leave you with 10 things to do so that way you don't make the mistake that I made. And when you are approaching your vision or your thought or your dream, that you don't do what I did. Gary Wright is the guy that wrote the song Dream Weaver. And in this song, Dream Weaver, is talking about, again, what the dream is about. And it starts off, it says, I just closed my eyes again, climbed aboard the Dream Weaver train. Driver, take away my worries of today and leave tomorrow behind. See, a dream, when you are at your dream job, when you are in your dream health state, you have your dream diet. For men, you know, man, your chest, arms, you got your six-pack going on, your body's ripped. Women, you know, you got that hourglass figure, you know, 36, 24, 36. That's your dream body. When you got your dream body, it takes away the worries of today and it leaves your tomorrow behind. When you're in that dream relationship, that person that, you know, you never really thought that you was qualified. What's interesting about the dream is that most of us, at least I did, I didn't really think, you know, I wanted the dream, but I didn't feel qualified for the dream. It was a unconscious. Now, remember, I'm not talking about theory. I'm talking about theorem. So when my dream showed up in all four areas, and it did, I could not release my reality in order to step into my dream. Because, again, most of us would rather live in a known hell instead of pursuing a unknown heaven. And it was this unconscious, because had I known, I would have done what I'm getting ready to tell you to do today. If I had known, if I could do it over again, then I would embrace my dreams the way it says in the song Dream Weaver. I would tell the driver to leave my worries of today behind. I would get on the dream weaver. You know, when you get your dream, you weave it into your current reality, and the dream overpowers the current reality, and you walk into the new reality. The song continues, and the chorus says, "Oh, dream weaver, I believe you can get me through the night. Oh, dream weaver, I believe we can reach the morning light. Fly me high through the starry skies, maybe to the astral plane, cross the highways of fantasy, help me to forget today's pain." Dream weaver. See, a dream, brothers and sisters, is very interesting, because the dream will never ever require you to do something that you're not already gifted and prepared to do. The problem is that because the dream shows up, or when the dream shows up, you have always prepared and planned to get the dream, but you never prepared and planned to keep the dream. And so since you never prepared, what do I do to keep my dream? When your dream shows up, you get it, you got it, you're in the honeymoon stage, that lasts for a month, 2 months, maximum 3 months. After that 90 days of that honeymoon stage, the reality comes in now that you are living your dream, but you don't feel like you deserve your dream. So unconsciously, you set out to sabotage your dream. Now, you don't know this consciously, and you don't know this subconsciously, but unconsciously, there is a life-sustaining pattern called your old dream. But your new dream, now the old dream is what you settled for. The new dream is what you have elevated for. See, you never fall in love. You elevate in love. See, love elevates you. But your old dream tolerates you. So right now you had a job that tolerates you. You're doing a workout routine that tolerates you, and you tolerate it. You're in a relationship with somebody that tolerates you, and you tolerate them. Neither party is elevating, because neither party is living the dream. You're studying and you're researching stuff that's safe. You believe your belief systems doesn't stretch your imagination. Your belief systems are comfortable. Everybody believes in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's comfortable. That's known. That doesn't require no research. You never read no ancient texts. Because, you're in an environment that tolerates, and it's stable, and it's secure. It nurtures you. You're still hooked on the titty. So you haven't released, you haven't got out and started chewing no meat. The Bible talks about the milk of the word and the meat of the word. Most people I know, they got the milk of the word, and then I give them the meat, and they got their baby teeth. A baby can't chew meat. So my messages are for mature. That's why I always say in most of my messages, warning, not for new believers. Because I know that they can't chew meat because they don't have teeth. So if you don't have teeth, if you are a baby Christian, you can't chew because you don't have no teeth. You got baby teeth. My messages is like a T-bone steak. You can't eat no T-bone with no baby teeth. So you bite into your dream with your baby teeth. And you prepare. Now, remember, a dream is always out there. You're always planning. You're always preparing to go get your dream. You never thought about, what do I do to walk in my dream? When my dream shows up in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. Now, I had my dream job, and I sabotaged it. I had my dream physical fitness state, and I sabotaged it. I had my dream relationship, and I destroyed it. I had my dream knowledge and esoteric, and I was scared of it. And I said that it cannot be true. There is no way this can be true. So I rejected it. I lived all my life, prayed, begged, cried, asked God to show me the truth. And when he showed me the truth, I said, hell no. Nobody teaches and believes that. That can't be the truth. So I rejected my dream. And if I'm a betting man, you have to. So now we got to do what the song says in Dreamweaver. The next verse of the song in Dreamweaver says, after the chorus, it says, through the dawn, though the dawn may be coming, there still may be some time. Fly me away to the bright side of the moon and meet me on the other side. And then it goes back up to the lyrics at the beginning that says, I just close my eyes again. Climbed aboard the Dream Weaver train. Driver, take me away, or take away my worries of today and leave my tomorrow behind. Oh, Dreamweaver, I believe you can get me through the night. Now, this song, again, I remember I was a little whippersnapper the first time I heard this song. And, you know, hey, it wasn't a traditional R&B song. But that song resonated with my spirit. And coming from the hood, you know, you couldn't really be in the hood and you couldn't be no black person listening to no Dreamweaver, you know, by some white dude. So I had to play that song on the DL. And most of the songs that I liked back in the day, I had to play on the DL because they wasn't the traditional black artist. It wasn't a traditional song. Most of my songs that I liked, again, were a little different than everybody else. Because I like songs and music that touch the soul. And that's the way dreams are. See, dreams have a way of touching the soul. Dreams have a way of doing something that other people can't do. So dreams bring about a spiritual awakening. See, a dream weaver or a dream stealer, you are one of those two as I speak right now. You are either one of those people that are able to weave dreams, or you're one of those people that steal dreams. Now, how do you steal a dream? Now, nobody wakes up and says, I want to be a dream stealer. See, a dream stealer is somebody, my brothers and sisters, they don't really set out to be a dream stealer. It's just something that kind of, like, you know, falls in their lap. Because, like me, they never really think, they never really guess, they never really examine how they live their life. They just go through life. And we do the best that we can with the information and with the knowledge that we have. And so we set out to try to do the best that we can. And a lot of times, the best that we can, yeah, it just falls short. And so we go through our life and we're doing the best that we can to live our dreams. But unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, that is not good enough. So we end up being a dream stealer, or a dream destroyer, because we don't really understand how to make our dreams come true. And we are really never really thought about living your dreams. And the word dream is another word for diakonia. So we're talking about how to make your diakonia come true, how to live your diakonia, because diakonia really is the word that we should be using instead of the word dreams. Because diakonia is the only way for you to optimize your life to vibrate at the top. Now, I talk about seeing you at the top, seeing you oscillating a totally optimized purpose. So that means, brothers and sisters, that you have to embrace your dream. Now, that sounds simple, right? So if I had not ran from my dream 5 times, I would not be doing today's show. Because, again, I would be just like you. I would be living my best life now, so to speak. Now, let's break this down. let's get to the nuts and the bolts of today's message. So as a dream weaver, you're a dream weaver, a dream stalker, a dream stealer. So when we think about the concept of actually verbalizing our feelings, our emotions, we don't really realize the impact that the verbalization of our emotions have on ourselves and other people. We don't. Because if you did realize the impact that your language have on other people and on yourself, you would choose your language very carefully. Now, I just finished the book and uploading it right now, talking about the genie in the jeans. I was going to do an audio program, but I decided to put it in print. And so this book talks about something that is probably one of the most dangerous things that I've ever heard and researched. That's why I'm writing the book. So genetic engineering has been around since the beginning of time, since Enki and Enel. They were the original genetic engineers. Now, there is something called, it's a biological gene splicing or gene sequencing where your genes jump. Now, this is all biologically proven, and it's also proven, as I talk about in the book, which if you're listening to my voice, you must get this book. And I'm thinking about doing something, add a little bit more meat to it, some kind of a Memorial Day sale, and I will post that later on today. But as I was thinking about it, I went through the scriptures, and I saw how God put genes in Genesis, and he became a dream maker. And God doesn't leave it up to chance. He actually does some amazing things inside the Bible that I never really looked at it from a genetic perspective. And it wasn't until I really, really sat down and looked at it and I saw how our DNA and our genes is voice activated. And I went through the Bible and I saw all the times that God voice activated our voice, our DNA. And it starts off in the beginning was the Word. So all of our DNA is activated. Genesis 1:3 says God, the Creator said, let there be light. So whoever that Creator was, he said something that activated the DNA. So what was the biology behind that? What is the science behind voice-activated DNA? Because that's your dream. See, your DNA is reset by your resonance, not what you say. See, your dream is either destroyed, is stolen, or you either weave it into your DNA. So there is a genetic change or genetic reset button in your DNA. And in this book, I talk about the genetic reset button in your DNA that you do every day. And without understanding that you have a say, you are a co-creator with the Creator. So we don't really understand how our unconscious beliefs set, now turn our DNA codex and code on, turns it on and it turns it off. So everybody, again, I made this book available for the members of the Clarinomics Club. It's $50. For everybody else, it's $100. Just email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. And I'm include about an hour or two of the audio with the book. I'm also going to include my book for free, The Hidden Metaphysics of H2O, The Hidden Metaphysics of Water, How Sound Affects Water. And then that's included with the book as well. So you get that book free. Since that's an audio book, I'm translating the audio into text right now for the DNA book. That's why it's taking me a little longer. And that book, again, Genie in the Genes or the Genesis, Genes, and Genius. How those three words are all the same, and how the word Genesis means Isis or genes of Isis or is genes. So Genesis is a book about the genes. Now, your genes is where your dream or your DNA is. So we have to unlock your dream. So how do we unlock your dream? How do we allow you to be a dream weaver? So to be a dream weaver, you need to do two things. You need to do 10 things. A dream weaver, number one, a dream weaver is in theos. Now, I've said this before. You must be the enthusiasm and the support for yourself and others. See, in order to be a dream weaver, you must be a person who encourages and uplifts people when they share their dreams, regardless of how far-fetched they are, regardless of whether you think those dreams are real. Otherwise, you are going to be the person that steals someone else's dream. You're going to put them down. You're going to say, like, man, that's not. Now, let me be crystal clear. I'm talking about DNA. I'm talking about dream. I'm not talking about no scheme or no scam. Now, you want to be a scam stealer. You want to be a scam destroyer. You want to be a scam mutilator. Somebody comes up to you, and they got a scam. They got a scheme. They got a gimmick. They got a fad. And you know that person has been called and gifted by God. Crush that. Crush that. Because that's a freaking pipe dream. That's not reality. Now, how do you know the difference? Like, for me, it's very easy because I have discernment. Now, some people, as I'm learning, don't have discernment. So they really don't know. So therefore, I would say something positive. I would be enthusiastic. So number one, to be a dream weaver, you got to be encouraging. Now, when your dream shows up, this is what happens. See, the dream activates the DNA. It turns the code on and turn the code on. That's why when you're in a relationship and you say, hey, man, that person turns me on. What you're saying is that person has activated your DNA. They've activated. Now, when you hear the truth, it activates your DNA. When you eat certain foods, it activates your DNA. When you are in a certain environment, certain sounds, certain music, that activates your DNA. When you hear certain teachings, again, that activates your DNA. So your environment activates your DNA. Other people activate your DNA. Now, anything that can activate the DNA can also deactivate or steal or crush the DNA. So you get with somebody, they activate, but your DNA has never been activated before. So you don't know what it is. Now, you like, but you got trust issues. Well, again, I'm talking about what I did. So I was feeling something, especially when I encountered my dream relationship. And I was in that relationship, and I didn't know what it was. And I didn't know how to operate in that relationship. So I unconsciously destroyed that relationship. Same thing with the job. Same thing with the truth. Same thing with fitness and exercise. Because remember, the dream, when it shows up, bam, all of a sudden, you feel stuff that you've never felt before. That scares you because you've never felt. You've always planned on getting it, but you never planned on what you're going to do when you got it. So what do you do when you got your dream? Number one, be enthusiastic. Be encouraging. Be supportive. Now, dreams are like waves. In fact, a dream is a spatial or a holographic or if it's a geometric. It's actually a scalar technology. And I talk about this a little bit in the book. So I can't really go into it too much in detail, but it's inside the book. It's a genetic, it's what is called molecular resonance. Now, remember, everything that we do is based upon resonance. Now, we talk, which means resounding. Sister Stacy had posted or sent me a link. I posted on my Facebook page that talks about this principle of resonance. And without understanding the principle of resonance and how resonance means resound. So every law in the universe is just a manipulation of that one law. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Every law on earth is a manipulation of one law. That's the law of resonance. I talked about the principle of resonance, so we're not going to waste your time. We did that in the Clarinomics Temple Building class. So the word resonance means I'm going to reset your sound. Now, in the Bible, there are three biblical instances or times that God has reset the DNA of the entire planet. He didn't ask nobody. He reset the entire DNA, upgrade or downgrade, three times. And I have this in the book that shows you, again, the genetic modifications through genetic sequencing that change your morphogenetic field with the law of genetic resonance. This is the source code of how you reprogram the crystallized DNA through waveform genetics. God is a genetic engineer. Now, there's a debate about little gods, big gods, little gods trying to play genetic engineers as well. You are a genetic engineer. So to genetically engineer, to help the big G maintain and weave you into your dream, you got to be encouraging and supporting of others. So you're in a relationship right now, forget yourself. Everything you do all day, every day is encourage and support the other person. Their job is to encourage and support you. So don't worry about what they are doing. Do you know what happens when you start enthusiastically encouraging and supporting your mate? That turns them on. So both mates, usually what happens in a relationship, both parties are waiting for the other party to be enthusiastic, to be encouraging, and to be supportive. But most men, y'all know how we do. We're egotistical, we're arrogant, we're cocky, and we're freaking selfish. And so the woman, she's steady loving and supporting. She's encouraging us. She's supporting us. She's lifting us up, and then she gets freaking burnt out. That is called emotionally bankrupt. Right now, your wife may be like my wife. That's why I got a freaking journal sitting around here. So today, while she's at church, I'm going to finish the show. I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to freaking go and prepare food so when she comes home, she can be surprised. Why? She's emotionally free. She's emotionally bankrupt. There's no emotion. I took it all. I was an emotional vampire, and I stole her joy. I took, brothers and sisters. Thankfully, I'm not dead. So now I can give. So the key to establishing a dream in any area is give. Give. I don't give a blank if my wife never don't do shizness for me. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to be enthusiastic, and I'm going to be supportive. And because I'm on that vibe, now there is a place, there is a time where it's too little, too late. And maybe that has already happened. But what happens is, again, according to universal spiritual law, the law of equivalence and the law of vibrational matching says that something that vibrates on a higher level will pull up the thing that vibrates on the lower level. That's called Schumann resonance. Now, if that doesn't happen, that means that person is not vibrating at all. That means that they're not, that means that their core vibratory state has been damaged to a place that it requires a genetic reset. Only God can do that. And I prove that inside of my book. See, a lot of people accuse me of saying that I'm God. Or a lot of people say that I'm saying that I can, you know, do all of these. I wish I could do what people say I could do. Man, I think I'd be freaking doing blog talk shows. I'd be selling out. I'd be speaking in freaking Madison Square Garden. I'd be talking in front of 100,000 people. If I had all of these superpowers that people think I got, or if I had all of these demonic, you know, stuff, hey, if I could summon up demons and stuff like Solomon, I would summon them suckers up and tell them to go put some money in my bank. So what I'm saying is scriptural, brothers and sisters, based upon the word. But I'm not going to sit here and try to convince baby Christians, because I'm not using baby terms and I'm not feeding them with milk. Man, I'm talking meat, homie. This is not milk. That's why people have a hard time digesting it. Stomach is not developed enough to eat no meat. Go back and drink the milk. It's okay. But don't accuse me, because I feed spiritual adults. What do I feed them? Number two. Give praise and guidance to those who come to you. This is how you dream. Now, remember, you planned all your life for this dream car. Now, my dream car is a Lamborghini. I've planned out. I never thought about it until today. What the hell am I going to do if I get my Lamborghini? I never thought about it. I just always had the dream. I wanted a freaking Lamborghini. Now, if I got a Lamborghini, where am I parking it? So I can't leave it outside because it's a $200,000, $300,000 car. I don't know what they cost now. Am I going to drive it back and forth? Am I going to drive a $200,000, $300,000 car through the neighborhood where everybody's got a $30,000, $40,000 car and have some idiot run into my $300,000 car? See, I didn't think this out. I just said, I saw it, I liked it, and said, hey, I want that. That's my dream. Is that really my dream? No, Lamborghini only got two seats. I got to think about that because I got five kids from my old previous marriage. I got two in this marriage. It where I go, and I spend a lot of time by myself, but, you know, hey, it still only got two seats. So I got to think. So do you, brothers and sisters. You have to think about the dream. And you got to give praise and guidance to those who are around you who got a dream. Because most people don't got a dream. So number one, you got to be enthusiastic. You got to be encouraging. You got to be supportive. Number two, especially in relationships, don't offer solutions. Just praise and offer, again, guidance to those who ask. If they don't ask, don't tell. Keep your mouth closed. Now, that's tough for men because we like to, you know, we like to offer suggestions. Men, we want to be the advisors. See, a dream weaver understands that people's vision may take them down a different path than theirs. Number three, realize that you are a resource, but you're not God. Number three, be a resource. That's all. What does that mean? That means you're like a book on the shelf, an encyclopedia. When I need you, I go over there and pull you out. I'll ring your bell when I need you. If not, don't ring mine. That's tough, but that's the dream weaver. See, a person has found their dream, especially a person who's been have their dream stolen. They are awakening to new senses, and they are remembering, they are re-resonating with love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. They've been in an environment where, again, they was lied to, they was abused, they was talked about, all this other negative stuff happened. And now, finally, they are in a healthy environment. And so now you got to give that person time to adjust to you. And so, women, please listen to this, women. So if you're a woman, right, and you are in a relationship with a guy, this is what happened to me. So you're in a relationship with this guy, and this guy has just got out of prison. Y'all know these, prison marriages and stuff. So when I worked in prison, these inmates would get out. They would, marry these women. They'd never seen them. They just was, pen pals. And then they did a ceremony while in prison. They got out. And then the man finally gets out. The woman is all excited for this guy. She meets this guy and she pours on all of this love. And this dude is not receptive because he's been emotionally bankrupt. He's been in an emotional prison where he was not allowed to feel nothing. And then you coming in with all of these feelings and you running wild and you wondering why he runs. That's what happened to me. Now, what happened to me is probably different than what maybe has happened to you. But a lot of times, women, unfortunately, you love someone who's emotionally turned off so much that you're turning on too much emotion too fast, he can't process it. Therefore, he runs. Now, he don't run physically, but he shuts down, and he becomes selfish because he's guarded. He's guarding his emotions because he wants to open up. He wants to love. He loves and everything, but he's going a little too fast. But you've been dreaming for this dream guy so long, and the dream guy shows up in your life, but the dream guy is emotionally damaged. Now, he's a good guy, but he's emotionally damaged. And you're not. So you look at him like, why don't he respond? What is wrong with him? Why does he do this? Why does he do that? He's been in emotional prison. He gets out, and now, bam, he gets hit with all of this, all of these emotions. Now, in prison, love will get you killed. You get out of prison, and you fall in love. And you've been in prison. Now, I'm not even talking about a physical prison. That's even worse. I'm talking about a spiritual prison, a mental prison, where you, like me, I felt something when I was a kid. I'm like, oh, I don't want to feel that no more, so I'm going to turn off the emotion. When my mother died, the only caregiver in my life, that hit. But the thing that messed me up more than that was sitting in the room next door to and hearing my aunts and uncles, and they all said, we don't want Willie. His ass is too bad. When you hear 30 people diss you, and then you become a ward of the state, that messes with your psychology. I don't give a damn how old you are. If you don't believe me, go out and try it. So I turned off emotionally, bruh. I said to myself, I remember saying it when I was a freaking kid. I remember saying, I will never, ever feel that feeling again, ever in life. Them demons says, really? Okay, bruh, we'll help you. That's how you summon up demons. If you make an emotional statement from a place of pain or from a place of enthusiasm, either angels show up or demons show up. That is why to be a dream weaver, number one, you must have emotion called enthusiasm. You must have an emotion called inspiration. You must have an emotion called encouragement. You must come with intense emotion that summons and activates the angelic, which is the angles inside of the DNA, because DNA is just nothing but a bunch of freaking angles, or angels, as you want to call them. And it activates them to help you by releasing chemit, or chemicals inside the body, to activate your behavior. When you go through a traumatic event and you suffer from any type of an emotional bankruptcy or arrested development disorder, you turn it off. So somebody floods you with emotion and nothing happens. They flood you with emotion, nothing happens. Now, women, y'all get to this point when you get with a dude that misuses you and abuses you, you get emotionally bankrupt the same way I did. Now, way, way back in the day, they used to call this shell shock. A shell shock, way back in the early, you know, wars, before they got the fancy term, they call it now PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's just another word, another fancy way of saying that certain things that you saw and that happened to you stop you from weaving dreams. Now you steal them. Now you go out and people say, hey, man, you know, I want to, you know what, my dream car is a Lamborghini. Nigga, you ain't going to never get no damn Lamborghini. You've been freaking hood. You work at McDonald's. Go somewhere and sit down. Okay, just stole his dream. Why? Somebody stole yours. Dream stealers are people who had their dream stolen. They don't know it. I didn't know it. I've been stealing dreams for crushing people's dreams just because mine was crushed. Being a dream weaver, brother, means that you step into your dream with enthusiasm and encouragement and support. It means that you give praise, and again, you are a resource on the shelf if somebody needs you. And number four, that means that you're not in it to make a sale, you're in it to make a service. We know that our service in life, we want to give more in use value than we take in monetary value. Number four, be of service. Number five, be of, and this is a big one, value. A dream weaver understands their worth and their value, and they support other people's worth and other people's value. Now, that's easily said, brothers and sisters, but that doesn't happen unless you have it done to you. Now, remember, everything I'm saying can only happen somebody from a high octave resonance resounds your resonance, or God interjects and he hits the reset button, and he resets your DNA. That's the only way. The only way is for you to understand another person's culture is somebody, like if I go to the Hispanic culture, there's no way I can walk into the Hispanic culture and know the Hispanic culture. Somebody from the Hispanic culture got to pull me alongside and say, hey, bro, you know, we go to a Hispanic house and they offer you some food, you might want to take it home. Because it's an insult to the people that to my grandmothers and stuff. Like, first time I went to the Mexican mafias and I walked in, and I didn't understand, man. I said, dude, I'm here to do a home visit. We're not allowed to take any type of gratuity or whatever. I'm on my job, brother. I'm a case manager. I'm here. I work for the federal government. And they told me, I don't give a damn what you do. You're going to eat this food for my grandmother. You see that old lady over there? You disrespecting her. She give you a plate, bro. You need to eat it. You're not walking out of here. I ate that plate. You have to understand the culture, brother, because if you don't, you're going to violate the social norms and the hidden codes. There are hidden codes, and the only way you know it is somebody who's on that frequency reach down and pull you up to that frequency. That's what a dream weaver does. A dream weaver is already living his dream, and he's helping other people to live their dream. People, true dream weavers are rare individuals. It's very hard to find a true dream weaver that really, really has entheos, that are really, you know, encouraging, that's really supportive. Most people, man, they don't act like they're going to support you in your faith, and then they're going to stab you in your back. They don't praise. They're not a resource. A resource means to return you to the source. The word re means return. Source means God. A dream weaver doesn't try to be the source. A dream weaver returns you to the source. So for everybody that all think that I'm out here trying to be God, please let me say that number three again. I'm a resource, brother. I'm a resource. So I'm trying to return you back to the big G, not the little ones. And the way I do that is I try to offer a service, and this service is done because I see your value and I see your worth. If I didn't see your value and if I didn't see your worth, brothers and sisters, I wouldn't be doing today's show. It's a Sunday. I would be sitting at home, you know, sipping some pina coladas or something. Number six, a dream weaver does this. A dream weaver, and this is a big one, right, chump? A big one, right, chump? A dream weaver is an eternal optimist. And I've been saying this forever. You mean to tell me you were somebody that's an emotional bankrupt? Now, this is how you know you're a dream weaver. Now, I don't really care. I would like to. I would hope one day. Do you know that you can love somebody? Don't mean you got to live with them. Do you know you can love somebody from afar? I don't know why I'm using relationships so much as the example of a dream weaver versus a dream stealer. Most people are dream stealers. They don't know it because somebody stole their dream. So now you've been living your whole life stealing other people's dreams. So the only way that you get out of that is that you be an eternal optimist. Now, a dream weaver doesn't do what he does to get stuff back. That's how you know you're a dream weaver. This is how you know you live in your dream. This is how you know that you are oscillating and vibrating as a single standing column of waveform energy. Is that if you are with somebody that is emotionally bankrupt, guess what? As I've been saying for years, if you had a job that you are doing, we're on step six out of the 10 steps. You've done all these first six steps, and they still treat you like a Hebrew slave on your job. If you're in a relationship, and you've done all of these six steps, and that old boy still treats you like trash, talk about you, your mama cheat on you, doing all of this stuff, and you're doing a workout routine, you ain't lost a pound, you're exercising, you got some knowledge, you come across it, some esoteric information, and you did like me, you read it, you said, that's not possible. There's no way this can be true, because everybody else believed this. And you mean to tell me this is the truth? So you reject your dream. If you're in a relationship where any of that happens, again, as I state in my book, Genie in the Gene, three times in the history of kinds of man, God himself reset the genetic code of man or mankind, or the mixture of angels and man. So sometimes, and in fact, most times, and in fact, all the times, you don't have to. Now, again, the Bible, there's a plethora of scriptures, but we run out of time, so I don't want to go through them, but I have them in the book. God says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? God says that the lily of the fields, they neither sow nor reap. All of you, you know, Reverend like the bishop who teach that if you don't tithe, you're going to go to hell. You tithe, man, with your time. That doesn't do it no. Well, that's another study for another time. But the book that I read says that the lilies in the fields, the birds in the air, they neither sow nor reap. They're above the law of sowing and reaping. I told you guys there's higher laws that override these universal laws. And when you get on that level, that's the law of resounding. It's called the principle of resonance. That's the big G. That's the law. That's the only law that I operate on. That's why I did the show already on the principle of resonance. And I tried to express, expose, and expand to you that all of the other universal laws are supported by the law of resound. Your DNA is voice activated by a certain sound, frequency, wave, vibration. That turns you on. That turns on the DNA. I don't do it. The word of God does it. God in me, operating as me, manifests himself through me. That's what the word invoke means. That's what the word enthusiasm means. The word enthusiasm don't mean I'm in you. The word enthusiasm means God in you, the pleroma, in theos, God in, inspiration, in spiritas. I'm a bad dude, man, but I'm not a universal spirit. I cannot fly around and freaking possess people. I don't wish I could. That'd be a full-time job. I'm simply saying there are people who don't want to take responsibility for their own life, so they're trying to kill yours. And they're going to contact you on Facebook and on YouTube. If they haven't already, don't worry. They're watching you. The moment you post something on there that's outside of their narrow-ass belief system, they're going to be posting and making comments on your page, on your YouTube channel. They'll be emailing you the way they email me. If it hasn't happened yet, hang on. Your blessing's coming. So to be a dream weaver, you have to be optimist, because you're going to be facing pests in the form of pessimism. These pests are sent by Lucifer to stifle and to kill your dream and to prevent you from helping other people. Now, if you are with somebody and they are emotionally bankrupt, and they probably was that way before you met them, it has nothing to do with you. They were either your vibe, again, it's a vibrational war. That's what's going on. Your vibe is going to elevate them, or their vibe is going to deflate you. Who's going to win? And what happens is the big G will step in and reset you. He'll move you out. That's why I said you never leave a job, you outgrow it. You never leave a relationship, bruh. You never leave a relationship, sis. You outgrow it. Trust me, they will leave you. Just be authentic. Don't believe me? Try it. Try it. You're in a bad job. You're in a bad relationship. You're in a bad church. You ain't got a bad workout routine. Any of the four areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. A dream weaver, he lives his dream because he prepared all his life. Now, this is how you know you're in your dream. You prepared all your life for your dream. Your dream showed up, and you don't know how to keep your dream because you never prepared to keep your dream. You were always been prepared to get it. And once it does, once you show up, you're not emotionally prepared to handle it. So you're going to destroy it. You're going to sabotage your dream. But your dream ain't going to go nowhere. How do you know it's your dream? Let it go. Number 7, a dream weaver, he is detached from the goal. He is attached to the role. Please write that down. Too many people are trying to hold on to emotionally bankrupt people or emotionally bankrupt jobs, emotionally bankrupt cars, workout routines, books, religion, tradition that's freaking bankrupt. You in a church that's been there for 30 years and freaking 5 people in that church and everybody in there freaking related? Bankrupt. You know, spiritus in there. I don't know about you. Has anybody read the definition of the word inspiration? Is there anybody that looked up the definition of the word inspiration? I don't know. I looked it up. Is there anybody that's listened to the sound of my voice that looked up the definition of the word enthusiasm? Anybody? Anybody looked up the definition of the word encouragement? Anybody? Anybody looked up the definition of the word supportive? Is anybody looked up the definition of the word worth and the word value? And you are in environments that don't have none of these attributes, and you tell me that's your dream? Come on, bruh. That is your dream. That's what's stealing your dream. You're in an environment that tolerates you. You're not in an environment that elevates you. You've sold out for safe and stable, and you now gave up your diakonia. The word dream is just another word for diakonia, which is another word for service, which is another word for ministry, which is another word for your position or your anointing or your calling. Brothers and sisters, it's very important that you over and understand, because you're not in a position. You are, but you don't have the luxury or the opportunity of a negative thought. You can have it, but I don't recommend that you operate in a negative thought. You don't have the time. You don't have the time. You have to be supportive. You got to praise. You got to be a resource. You got to have service. You got to have value. You got to have work. You got to be an eternal optimist. And you got to be a person, brothers and sisters, that's able to see through the smoke and mirrors. And you got to be attached, not to a person, but attached to a dream, a diakonia. Never, ever attach yourself to a person. Never attach yourself to a job. Never attach yourself to a car. Never attach yourself to a belief system. Never attach yourself to a tradition. Never attach yourself to a workout routine. Always attach yourself to the results or to the routine, the mundane, the actual step-by-step process. Always attach yourself to the process, the procedure, the plan, the principles, the purpose. Always attach yourself to your purpose. Because where that purpose is, that's where, again, that place is. Where that place is, that's where that person is. Always attach yourself to the goal. Never attach yourself to the goal. Because if you are attached yourself to the role, what is the role? The role is you are enthusiastic. That's the character you're playing. Today I'm playing the Dreamweaver. And as the Dreamweaver, my character today is I'm going to be enthusiastic. So I wake up and say, I don't care how I feel. Enthusiasm, flame on. Poof. I'm enthusiastic. I don't ask myself. I don't give myself. I don't need to call nobody. I don't need to send no freaking, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to send no Hail Marys. I make a concrete decision to be diligent. And I'm willing to cut, kill, destroy, maim, and mutilate anything that tries to prevent me from being enthusiastic, from being encouraging, from being supportive. Then I go out and I praise. I uplift people. I say nice things to people. And then people say, hey, Brother Will, you're nothing but a flirt. I don't give a damn. Call me whatever. I'd rather be a flirt than somebody that's walking around here telling you, I'm going to find a positive. I don't care if the woman weighs 350 pounds. She got beautiful eyes. I'm going to say, hey, you got beautiful eyes. I'm going to be an eternal optimist. I choose to make a choice to see the glass half full instead of the glass half empty. That's my choice. That's why I choose to be a Dreamweaver. Then I choose to be a resource. The word resource means I'm going to return you to the source. I'm not trying to be your God. You already freaking got one. I'm trying to get you back in contact with him or her. I'm a resource. As a resource, I'm providing a service. People blow my mind when they say, well, Brother Will, you're charging for your stuff. No shiznit. What do you think I'm here for? Because I ain't got nothing else to do? Hell, I got bills to pay just like everybody else do. Of course I'm going to charge for my stuff. because I see worth and I see value in it. And people who do see worth and value in it, they, I don't mind paying for a good burger. When I go to a restaurant, I don't want them to give it to me for free. I pay my light bill every month because I like coming into my house and click. I pay my car payment because I like going outside and driving it instead of taking the city transportation. So I pay for the things that I see, number five, value and worth in. So anytime you see value and worth in something, go in your wallet, bruh. Expect it, because you are a dream killer when you walk around with a spirit of expectation. Because the Bible says, give and it shall be given. You never offer up anything to God that has not cost you something. This is the pearl of great price. You don't cast your pearls among swine. Fool ain't willing to pay you for your time and your effort and your service. You do exactly what the Bible says. You go to the house and they receive you. It says, shake the dust off your feet, homie, and keep it moving. Don't attach yourself to somebody that's not attached to you. Be an eternal optimist. Make sure that you are always attached to the role and not the goal. Number eight, to be a dream weaver, to be a dreamer, to live in the dream, to live in your diakonia, to oscillate and vibrate in total optimized purpose. That means you're at the top, bro. Cream rises to the top. Number eight, this is a big one, faith in people. This is a tough one for me. Now, I can have faith, but I have a problem with people. People will let you down, man. People will say, like, man, people will tell you, Brother Will, I'm with you, dog. You're the best thing since sliced bread. Then next week, they're on Facebook talking about you and your mama. Everything that you tell them in secret, they go out and post it on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And you're like, man, I thought this dude that was my friend. Brothers and sisters, there's a spark inside of people. We have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Christ in you, the hope. I attach myself to the Christ in people, not the flesh in people. I know that everyone has hidden potential. It may be hidden, but it's there. It's potential. I find that potential, and then I latch onto that. So they flesh acts up. They call me. One day, my friend, the next day they email me. They say, well, Brother Will, you told me something, man. F you, your mama, your grandma. If I see you in the street, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. Blah, 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 blah. Then I say, God bless you. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you, sis. And I keep it moving. Because I'm not attached to the flesh. I'm attached to the spirit of the person. So I have faith in your potential called Christ. I have faith in the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. I have faith in your position inside the kingdom. I have faith in your gift, because the Bible that I read says that your gift will make room for you and take you before kings. So therefore, I see your gift, brother. I see your gift, sister. And I'm going through, number one, I'm encouraging you and your gift. I'm putting enthusiasm into your gift. I support your gift. Number two, I'm praising your gift. Number three, I'm a resource to assist you to fulfill your gift, because I'm going to return you to the source. His name is the Big G. Number four, I have a service. I have a product, I have information that will assist you with fulfilling your gift, because I see value and I see worth in you in the form of your gift. And I am optimistic, number six, that your gift will take you to the top, because you can tap, you can take your time, T, you can take your attention, A, and you can produce a product, P, and that time, that attention, that purpose, or that product will take you to the top, where you can totally T, optimize, O, purpose, P. And so I'm optimistic, and so I'm going to attach, number seven, myself to the role of being a dream weaver, not a dream stealer. And I'm going to do number 8, I'm having faith in Christ that's in you. And that leads me to number 9. I am going to interact. Now, the word interact is an interesting word. Number 9, you got to interact. That means come out of your shell. That means, like I was telling you guys, like what the interview that I did with Brother Roman, Muñoz, where he's, you know, hey, brother's not perfect, but he's what? He's coming out of his shell. He's inter, I-N-T-E-R, act, A-C-T. Brother Rome has decided to enter the act instead of react. You got a choice today. You can interact with other people who got gifts, or you can react to the environment and return back to the previous act. That means drama or play. Like I said, I'm playing the character of Master Teacher 33. Who you playing? What's your character? So I want to get an Oscar for my performance as Master Teacher 33. That's what I'm going for. I'm going for the Oscar. I'm going for an Oscar. What are you going for, brothers? What are you going for, sisters? Are you going to interact with your dream, or are you going to react to somebody else's dream? See, the word, if I can do something to you, this is why you can never be emotional. You can never react to other people's shitness. I don't give a beep what they say or do or don't do. You a dream. So let's say right now, as you know, is, you know, currently going on. Now, I'm not saying this negatively. My wife's listening to the show. I cause hurt and harm by emotionally bankrupting my wife by doing bad things. So if my wife is emotionally bankrupt, now I'm not saying that she is, but when she was emotionally bankrupt, I did not get no interaction from her because of the pain and the place that she was at, because of the memories of the behavior and the things that I've done in the past. And so it was my job, brothers and sisters, to do something different, to make deposits. And that's what I've been doing. Now, it works in all four areas. Wealth, you may be bankrupt in the area of wealth. That means you got to do something to make deposits, wealth deposits. You got to do something to make health deposits. So if I want to make a wealth deposit, hey, I can save money. If I want to make a wealth deposit, hey, I can create a product. I can make a wealth deposit is assets. A wealth withdrawal is liabilities. Anything that you're doing to take money out of your pocket, you're making a withdrawal. Anything that you're doing to put money in your pocket, you're making a deposit. Same thing with relationships. Same thing with physical fitness. So anytime I am consuming calories or burning calories, I should say, anytime I'm burning calories, I'm making a deposit. Anytime I'm consuming calories and eating, I'm adding on fat. That's a liability. Why? Carrying around extra fat, eating bad food is a liability. It makes you unhealthy. What makes me healthy? Burning calories, alkaline in my body, you know, putting food and stuff, electric food that my body can use. That assists, that's an asset to my body. So therefore, I want to do those things if my body is bankrupt. So that means overweight. That means you got to do things, again, to make a deposit into your wealth account. We go through life and we are bankrupt in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. And we're not doing anything. So a dream weaver sees that he's bankrupt or she's bankrupt. That means they're not living the dream. That means that their toes are not curled. That means that they're not totally optimized their purpose. They're not on top. So a dream weaver is going to say, hey, I'm going to make deposits into my dream. And the way that he does that is by making deposits into other people's dreams. See, the way that you live on top is to make sure, my brothers and sisters, that you do the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So you live your own dream first, and then you help other people live their dream. And in the process, you don't wait until you're on top of the dream. In the process of you figuring out your dream, guess what you do? Guess what you do? You interact with other people. That, my brothers and sisters, leads us to the last and the final stuff. Last and the final thing for a dream weaver is spiritually awakened. A dream weaver has 10 attributes that we've just discussed. Living your dream. When your dream shows up, you're going to sabotage it. Why? Because it's going to turn on parts of your DNA that has never been activated before. You're going to be like, what is this? And depending on your negative habit pattern, remember, your dream is a life-sustaining pattern. It's your DNA. That's when your DNA is on. That means you're spiritually awakened, which is the 10th step. So if you are spiritually awakened, you cannot be spiritually dead. Let me say that again. If you are spiritually awakened, you got to stop being spiritually dead. Let me say that again. If you are spiritually awakened, you cannot be spiritually dead. That means that right now you are doing things that are spiritually dead. And you're telling me, Brother Will, I want to live my dream. I want to activate my Dear Kneel. I want to be a part of the Clear Knowledge program. But you're spiritually dead. You're doing things. You're not spiritually dead, but there are things that you are doing that are, again, number one, what's in the first attribute? In theos. God ain't in it. How do you know? Look at the people. If you go to any environment, look at the faces of the people. You see the relationship. You see the husband and the wife together. Look at their faces. Are they happy? Are they enthusiastic? Are they supportive? Are they encouraging each other? Number one, enthusiasm, encouraging and support. Number two, praise. Is the husband praising the wife? Is the wife praising him? Are you on your job? Does your job praise you? Do you praise your job? You work out routine. Do people, when you go work out, do people see you after you work out and they praise you? Like I tell you guys just what, a couple of days ago, dude followed, well, he didn't follow me. We both ended up at the same Subway. He came in and shook my hand. Man, your workout, watching you work out inspired me, motivated me. Then my wife paid for his dinner. That's dreaming, brother. That's living the dream. Then number three, are you a resource? Are you returning people to God? You're not trying to be God for people. You're returning people. You're pointing them in the direction of God. You're a resource for God. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm not Christ. I'm an ambassador of Christ. Now, I have Christ in me. I understand that. I am in Christ. But I didn't die for anybody's sins. I understand that I am a version of Christ. I understand that I can christen myself by activating my amygdala. I understand all that. I got a 400-page book that explains it. And I got people who read it and say, well, this brother talking about he's Jesus Christ. Would I look like I'm stupid? Come on, man. Read the freaking book. I got a 400-page book. You read 2 pages of it, and you say, oh, your brother Will don't know what he's talking about. So I got a 10-hour audio series. You listen to 10 minutes of it, and you think you know me? Come on, man. Be a resource, brothers and sisters. I'm a resource. Because why? Four, I have a product, service, and information. And I use that product, service, and information to, again, do 1, 2, 3. And four, number five, I see value and I see worth. That's all I see. Everywhere I go, I see value and I see worth, which makes me number six, an optimist. Dreamweavers are optimists. They're not pessimists. They're not a pest. They're an optimist. They're coming along here and they're gonna do number seven. They're not going to attach to you and follow you around like a lost puppy. They're going to attach to their dear Kneel. A dreamweaver is attached to his position, his calling. A dreamweaver will never forsake his calling for a person. Let me say that again. Oh, you got Susie Q coming to your life and she says that, hey, I love you. All you got to do is just stop doing what God called you to do. Let's go and do this. Excuse me? A dreamweaver? Dreamweaver ain't going to leave. I don't think so. God's done too much for me, bro. He's brought me too far for me to turn my back on him. I'm attached to my calling. I'm attached to the role that God placed me in. And God put me on this earth. He empowered me. He called me. He gifted me. He glorified me. He sanctified me for such a time as this. So I'm attached to God. People come and go, but not God. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So God, by the good old-fashioned discipline, I'm attached to that. Number eight, faith. A dream we will have faith in the gift that's inside of people. So he can do number nine, he can interact instead of reacting. He's not outside stimulated, he's inside revelated. Which leads him number 10, he's spiritually awake. That is a dream weaver. Brothers and sisters, I'm out of time. Thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. As always, I'll be you at the top in eternity. And a totally optimized purpose. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.